Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show.
Hello, and once again, welcome to the One Show, the podcast that drives at speed alongside TV's The One Show, deliberately veering into it in order to run it off television's road and make it explode in a ditch. I am John Holmes, and once again, we find ourselves like Lot's wife from the Bible, you remember, looking over our shoulders at recent episodes of the BBC's flagship lightweight magazine programme, except where Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt because of what she saw, we mostly turned to drink and heroin for the same reason. On the green sofas this week, then, one of McFly gets dissed, no time for questions to Daniel, and as he appears on The One Show, the surviving Chuckle Brother looks like he'd rather be dead. Joining me to put wet towels over The One Show's face and pour scorn onto it to simulate drowning this week are, of course, my The One Show co-host Mark Haynes, and an actor, writer, co-host of the Smashing Sundays podcast, and international jet setter, just back from LA and New York, no less, the Ponce. It's Beth Granville.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the land of The One Show.
Where the one-showed man is king. credit to you, John. That Lot's wife reference. I've been doing some work for Channel 4 recently, and yeah. I'm a 46-year-old white man, so a lot of my references don't like tally up with Channel 4's hopes, desires, and dreams, which they tell you in a room full of white men who are 46. but Lot's wife is one that I would have been called up on, and they would have said, a lot of people are into TikTok nowadays. I think Lot's wife might be one of those references that, why don't we go for Bimini Bombolash instead? So nice, well, to be here, John.
Their loss, frankly.
Get to enjoy references to Lot's wife.
Part podcast bashing the televisual feast that is The One Show, part Bible study. That's how I look at this.
I went to Catholic school, so I feel, I can maybe take part.
It's the reason I put it in was for you. That's the
Thank
only reason.
You. Yeah, I appreciated it.
Take you right back
Did
to
Did it have
days.
A lasting effect on you, Beth?
Very much so. Yeah, I'm still recovering. It was a proper rough Catholic state school as well, so I'm still recovering from every part of my education.
Yeah.
Great. Well, let's see if we can give you a breakdown during the show.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be dissimilar. An entire childhood of Catholic abuse and watching The One Show. It's very similar.
Well, actually, my Catholic grandparents, The One Show ended up being one of the first things I saw when I got back, because I went to see my grandparents when I landed. I'd been away for 3 months, and they just always have it on. They love it. I don't even know if they love it. They probably don't know if they love it, but it's just, and I thought, this is being pumped into so many people's houses, this show, isn't it? It's remarkable. It's not pumped into my house, that's for sure. Unless I'm doing this with you today, of course.
Yeah. But what, I mean, by its own low standards. What a poor quality couple of episodes.
It was barely television. It was barely TV.
Until, can I just say, smashed it out of the park, because I was zoning out a lot in the first episode. Because I'm not really a Commonwealth Games kind of person, not really a sport kind of person. But Daniel Kaluuya is one of my favourite actors of all time. I've been obsessed with him since he was in Psychoville. Mm. The second series, like, oh my, I adore him.
Tonight, we've got a BAFTA, Golden Globe and Oscar-winning actor in the building. He starred in Black Panther and Get Out, and his new film is currently the US box office number one. He's hoping to do the same on home turf. Daniel Kaluuya will be here very, very shortly.
And I thought he said some really interesting stuff. And I was like, for the first time in my life, I might be sending that episode to people, getting them to watch it, because he actually was really interesting, told some really great stories. And then you had Tom Daly talking about how it's illegal to exist as an LGBTQ plus person in half of the Commonwealth countries. And I thought, well, actually,
at this point, over half of the countries in the Commonwealth, it is illegal to be homosexual. So for me to be illegal in those countries, and for the people that are going to be flag bearers at the very beginning of the Queen's baton relay, representing some of those countries where it is illegal to be them in those countries, and they are going to be carrying the pride flag as part of the Queen's baton relay for the first time in such an amazing historic event.
Didn't that blow your mind? That when you hear that obviously half of the Commonwealth countries, you know, it is illegal to be gay, and you look up the Commonwealth countries and they're places you're sort of a little bit surprised by, like Pakistan. And you know that Pakistan is a very homophobic country and there are lots of penalties for being gay. But you think, what is the point of the Commonwealth if, like, the Commonwealth people sort of go, yeah, you can come in. You kill gay people. Nah. I mean, it'd be better if you didn't, but come in anyway. You
know, yeah, and our government are like, we're on the way there. We'll promise we're catching you up.
Yeah. What a scandal. What an absolute scandal.
I know. It's horrendous.
And I think The One Show is the perfect platform to discuss this kind of stuff. I mean, why not?
Oddly, I did think it had a weird sort of, like, it was actually quite powerful that you did get Tom Daly doing that. And they were doing it so matter of fact. And unusually for The One Show, they didn't bring in balance. Where they didn't have to have someone come back to the studio and have, you know, Roman Kemp sort of going, of course, you know, if you do want to kill gay people, you know, that's entirely up to you. That's a matter of freedom. You know, there wasn't that. They couldn't do it. So that was a bit of a relief.
What we have noticed in the last couple of weeks, we've been noticing what we think is a great part of The One Show's sort of new agenda, in that the homes, as we just talked about, and I'm not in any way suggesting that your elderly relatives are these people, Beth, but, you know, the homes that it's being plugged into and he's on in the background are a lot of Britain that probably aren't the most forward-thinking people. But the new agenda of The One Show, it's all about multiculturalism. Birmingham, look at all the stuff they've been doing in Birmingham. And while it was terribly, terribly boring about the Commonwealth Games, there were a lot of diverse faces on the screen at 7 o'clock going into all of those homes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were talking about this last week. And, you know, that, and you're right, having Daniel Kaluuya on there, as we ought to say, Alex Scott and JJ, as we're all calling him now, apparently, had gone to see the film, and Jermaine seemed to like it a lot more than Alex, because he was the one sort of engaged with it.
Yeah, she was like, what's it about again? It's just complicated to explain, isn't it? It's like, well, have a go, love. That's your job.
Yeah.
But it's a bit tricky to explain, actually, what happens.
It's confusing. It's a lot to put in. It's like, well, that's what a log line is, essentially. You should have maybe just, that should have been part of your prep, is know what the film's about. Do you just want to take this? And then they're like, oh, you did a really good job of explaining that.
No, I mean, I watched it and loved it. I mean, you described it perfectly.
Well, yeah, he has just been in it.
He was good though, wasn't he? Because he did come along. He didn't have that thing of sort of going, here I am stuck on the run, on the treadmill. I've got to, you know, get through this. He was just like, I'm going to be the pro's pro. And you can suddenly see why he's such a big star internationally, because you put him in that. He was talking, you know, about horse riding and how he's scared of horses, so he began feeding medicine to horses to get over his fear of
it. Yeah. And also, because it's like you wanna look at it and go, oh, he knows horses.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he has a connection with horses. Yeah, yeah. So even I would go on Saturday mornings and clean the stalls. I'll do everything that they would do. I would, like, give them medicine. Like, I would open their mouth, give them medicine, because he would do that. Because I want to be comfortable with the horses.
And you sort of go, that's sort of what he's done with The One Show, isn't it? That you sort of just go, rather than be scared of it or loathe it, I will embrace it, and then we will all get through it. And he really, really did do that. I mean, I was obsessed with the fact that Alex was anxious about his name. And every time she said his name, she said it in the show before where she introduced him as coming up the next day. Every time she said his name, it was a little bit different.
It was a little bit wrong.
So his name is Daniel Kaluuya, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, on the day when she was trailing it, she called him Daniel Kaluuya.
We'll be back tomorrow and joined by Oscar-winning actor Daniel Kaluuya and Watchdog.
Yes, and don't... Right?
That was wrong. And I just had to think, every time she'd say it, you could see in her eyes that she was going... I think this is racist, and I cannot pull out of the nosedive. I cannot bring it back.
Yeah.
And it is racist because learn how to say people's names. Yeah. If you can say Niamh, which is spelt Niamh, you can say Kaluuya. It's not difficult.
It's not difficult. And all you've got to do,
again, it's your job.
Yeah.
Say someone's name right.
I liked JJ's turn of phrase as well. He came in with, after Daniel did a fantastic job of describing the film as disgust, he said, "You described the film to Alex and us all at the top of the questions."
You know, I've described the film to Alex and to us all at the top of the questions. What?
The questions.
The questions.
And you could have just said, "You've just described the film to us. Here's where we go. The top of the questions, JJ."
They don't even think of it as a chat. They're going to have him in and they don't sort of go, "You're going to have a talk with him. You're going to have a chat with him. You know, you've got 5 minutes with him." You know, they literally have a list of questions that they have to go through. And that's it. There was a lovely bit where he was talking really sort of like, you know, interestingly about the visceral reaction of an audience to both comedy and horror. And he was talking about how it sort of sparks the same feeling in an audience. And in the middle of it, you could just hear Alex going, "Yeah."
And I'm like, I see horror and comedy actually on the same coin, but different sides, because they're both the genres that have, they give the audience a visceral reaction.
Yeah.
One of those noises that you were just going, "I haven't got a fucking clue what he's talking about," but I'll just occasionally 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, she zoned out. She did.
And there was that magnificent bit near the end when they said, "This is so good. We've got so many questions that have come in for you, Daniel."
Oh,
so many.
Amazing.
And I hope we've got time to get to them, but to make sure we haven't, we're going to cut away now.
Yeah. Do you know what? We've got lots of questions for you here on the iPad in from viewers. Hopefully we'll get to some of them. But first, Olympic diver Tom Daly.
To admit the Tom Daly bit, but it was really, you've already done the Commonwealth Games, so why didn't you finish doing that and then move on to Dan instead of jumping all over the place? It was a mess. And then they went back to the studio. Did they have time for any questions, Daniel, from the viewers? Not a sausage. Not one.
I mean, these couple of shows were a bad couple of shows. And they were a bad couple of shows, not just for the one show, but they're a bad couple of shows for us, because it was so boring and so dismal. It's fascination with sport, but not actually showing you sport.
I know.
Sort of going, "Here's the prep for the sport that you might want to see." Constantly taking us backstage and sort of going, "Well, this will be good when it's finished, but it's not finished yet."
Beth rang me up, didn't you? Because you there was far too much Commonwealth Games backdrop, and you rang me up to just tell me you'd zoned out of the whole thing.
Yeah. And I was trying to make notes, but I was just zoning out, and then I came back in, I think, when on the first episode when Paul Chuckle and the guy from McFly. It was really poor content, I have to say.
Now then, let's welcome tonight's guests, Danny Jones and Paul Chuckle. So both, we're going to talk all things Celebrity MasterChef in a bit.
Paul Chuckle kept on going on about he and Danny McFly. They're doing Celebrity MasterChef together, which was introduced as, after the Commonwealth Games, they said, "Well, another competition gripping the nation is Celebrity MasterChef."
Anyway, another competition gripping the nation very soon is Celebrity MasterChef. And Danny
But Paul Chuckle he said it about, two or three times, where he kept on saying, "Oh, me and Danny, we're like naughty school kids."
Was there a friendly atmosphere?
It was, absolutely. We were like two naughty school kids at the back of the class. And
when you say stuff like that as an old man, you're basically saying, "Well, you know, we weren't funny, but we were sort of supposed to be." So I was just like, what a naughty school kids are, you know, like stabbing a frog, you know, just awful. I mean, the two of them sitting there as well, you've never felt the loss of Barry Chuckle more than seeing Paul Chuckle slap next to Danny McFly and the two of them joylessly laughing.
Oh, I know. It was really awful. I loved Paul Chuckle's shirt, though, that paisley shirt he was wearing. I was just sat there thinking, I could rock that. I wonder where that's from. And then I found out, I was like, when he said that he was, because they were talking about football, weren't they? And he dropped in that he could have had a career in football. He was saying that Chuckle Vision was commissioned when he was 39.
Yeah, you went on to make people laugh.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I could have had a full career because I was 39 when we started Chuckle Vision. So.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, that's cheered me up. I like that. That's a great bit of information. So I tweeted that, saying never give up on your dreams. Paul was, 39 when he got that commissioned. It's absolutely taken off, guys.
That's it.
That's me. Yeah, it's doing really well.
You've got the one show the most publicity they've had in a really long time, Beth. There.
Well, I know. I didn't actually credit them that that's where I sourced the information from. So I thought, it's a lot to explain that I was watching it because I was coming on
it's
this
a lot,
podcast.
It's a lot
so
for 140 thought, characters.
People yeah. can just think that I'm just randomly Googling when stuff got commissioned.
Yeah. I genuinely heard him say that and my heart sank because I'm 46 and I'm still waiting for that big break.
Yeah, so Leroy Brito replied to my tweet actually saying I'm 41 with like one of those little smiling faces with the tear next to it. And I was like, yeah, you're fucked then, mate. You're absolutely fucked.
Hearing Paul Chuckle just go, don't give up on your dreams. I was 39. And I'm just like, I haven't given up on my dreams, but now I have.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Poor old Danny McFly, though. I think we made a return to the moment where the One Show disses their own guests quite publicly when they, Danny McFly is in McFly. Are they still going? I don't know. But, he was in a successful boy band, but not as successful as Alex liked to point out when they went through the Mercury Prize nominees as Harry Styles. And here's Harry Styles. Successful Harry Styles. He's got a Mercury Prize nomination. He was in one of the biggest boy bands. Wasn't he, Danny McFly?
It is a brilliant list, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of a dozen albums. And a lot of people would be thrilled to see Harry Styles on there. And, to be fair, credit to him, started on X Factor. Via a massive boy band, but then to be on this list is huge, isn't
Absolutely
it?
Just incredible.
Totally Danny, who was that? Who was that piece for? Beth's grandparents do not care about who's nominated for the Mercury Prize this year. And they had some really great bits in that. Like at the end, Alex just went, and we wish everybody the best of luck.
We wish everybody the best of luck, don't we?
Yeah, we do indeed. And the Mercury Prize will be...
Oh, you plucky millionaires, Jermaine was very, very keen to start listing British hip-hop acts as well.
Yeah, I think my favourites, I have to say, I think when Dizzy Rascal won it, that was a big moment in kind of like hip-hop music. Dave, when he won it as well, Skepta, a couple of my favourites that I really enjoyed.
I can see what you're thinking.
I'm trying to. I'm waiting for you to nod, I listened to that as well.
There were a couple of flashes of Jermaine where you kind of got an impression that the Jermaine we see on air is not the real Jermaine at all. And he suddenly relaxed into talking about hip-hop and you sort of thought, he's more interesting if he could be him. The other bit he did was they were talking about the Lionesses, and at that point we were on the semi-final. And Alex asked him, she said, have you ever scored off a back heel like that? And for a moment, there was a flash of passion in JJ that we've never seen before. And he was like, don't you even go there.
But before that, we have to talk about this, Al.
Yeah.
What a finish that is.
I mean, as if a goal isn't enough, a little flourish backwards.
Oh, the skill.
And through the legs.
Unbelievable. Alicia Russo with the sauce there, just sticking it in the back
of the
net.
Were you really impressed?
I was impressed.
Have you ever done that?
Why you got to go there? There's no need.
He's actually not boring. It's just that within the confines of the One Show, he's decided to go for this character that is so sort of straight and so sort of like goody-goody. And I don't think it's really him. I prefer him when he's being a bit spiky. Seeing him talk about hip hop, I'd rather someone did that on BBC One than just pretending to be professional.
You get a lot of you can sort of tell with JJ when he's not interested in something, he just sort of brushes it off and sort of perfunctory autocue. Yeah. But then when you're right, when he engages, there's a little flash of something going
that
on.
That wonderful bit in that bit was Danny McFly just having a bit of a nightmare, and so they were sort of talking. Sort of like, you speak to Sam Fender every now and then, and he sort of had to go, oh shit, you know, now I'm on telly, could be caught. So he's like, I do talk to Sam Fender on social sometimes.
I speak to him on a social sometime and just big him up, and I believed in him from the start.
We can all tweet Sam Fender, right? Not difficult.
Then he said you know, because they've already put him on the spot and sort of rubbed his nose in the Mercury nominee's shit, going, look, Danny, you're not as successful as any of these people, are you? How do you feel about that? Right. And then they said, well, you've worked with them. Harry Styles. He said, I've worked with him in the past, he said.
Yeah, I mean, I love Harry as well. Worked with Harry in the past, and he's a great guy. So,
and I thought, have you? So I Googled it, right? And what the Harry Styles, Danny from McFly working together is that they bumped into each other at a gallery charity night, and he had a selfie with Harry.
He did slip in that bit when it was all going wrong, and he has to sort of go, I've met Harry Styles-ish. We saw each other. And then there's a Sam Fender you chat to. Yeah, you know, I dropped him a tweet 3 years ago.
When the Tom Daley thing came up, I didn't go to this party in LA that everyone was going to, and it was the guy from NSYNC, Lance Bass. He's got a club in LA, and it was a It's Gonna Be May party, so it was the last day in April. And then, you know, it's NSYNC joke, It's Gonna Be Me. So he was having this party and everyone was going, and I just felt like shit, and I was like, do you know what, I can't go. And then I was fuming because I found out Tom Daley was there, so everyone was hanging out with him and Lance Black, husband, boyfriend. Anyway, that's like me saying that I went on a night out with Tom Daley because I nearly did. I nearly ended up there. Like, I could tell you that.
He was so on the ropes that right at the end of that interview, under his breath, he went, you know, when I got a load of Brits.
You know, he took his Brit Award back to the local pub where he started. And that resonated with me because I started in open mic nights and pubs and stuff like that. Didn't take my Brit back to my pubs, but I should have done that.
And it was desperate sort of like, oh, Clang, sorry, did I say that? Did I mention I won loads of fucking Brits? Did I? Absolutely desperate. The person we haven't mentioned in this bit, who is also on Celebrity MasterChef, is Nancy Dell'Olio, who was such an important booking. They said, well, we've got the two guys in the studio. You can come in on Zoom, Nancy.
We have to say a big welcome to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, Alex. Lovely to see you.
You two.
Everyone know the pecking order. If I was Danny McFly and I'd got like in the car and I'd been sitting there, done makeup and everything, and then you see Nancy's just at home, you'd be like, you said I couldn't do it from home.
Yeah, that was an option.
I look like such a prick coming out here and doing all this for you. She looked sensationally good. I thought she looked really amazing, and she was wearing.
You can have a ring light at home, though, can't you?
Good point, actually.
I don't have one today, but this place where I just was, they had this massive ring light, and I thought, I have never looked this good. I was joining a Zoom at like 6 a.m., no makeup on, and I looked like Nancy Dell'Olio as well. They got good lighting in their houses. I don't trust that.
Had an amazing pendant on as well, which was like 2 foot of just blue agate stuck on her chest. Absolutely. I bet it weighed about 6 stone. And I thought she looked great.
She looked great, but she sounded like a madwoman. I mean, it was and they just let her get on with it, didn't they? And you got, that was where they were just, Nancy, tell us about, were you channeling Italy, Alex said, while you were doing your MasterChef? And she just went off on some spiel about that.
Well, with me, one thing he didn't, I was surprised that he didn't know the process, how we make it the dish. I can't say anything in Italy. But then I have to say, all the judgment, they're very fair. Yes, they were nice, and I surprised him, but they were nice. And about one thing, I disagree.
Okay.
And then Alex said, I imagine you have a lot of takeaways in your house.
I imagine you get a lot of takeaway. I mean, I don't know, but I'm imagining.
Meaning you probably don't cook a lot, but that sort of sounded wrong. And then Jermaine picked her up on it. But again, a bit more Jermaine there, being natural.
Right, Chin.
Only you could get away with that, you know. I'm guessing you get a lot of takeaway. Yeah, anyway.
No one else. Yep. Alex asking the awkward questions.
He used the phrase, typical Jonesy.
Typical Jonesy.
I think at the end, Nancy Dell'Olio did make a mistake and she called Danny from McFly Daddy very briefly, which made me feel a bit uneasy about the whole thing. Didn't like that at all. But if you, I do watch this sometimes, and I do sort of, when you see a group of people like that, I do think if you were from a different country and you come on holiday in Britain and you were watching this on the television and you were being told that these people were famous, you just wouldn't believe it. They're like a group of people that you might see like in a car park or a harvester. There was nothing about them that you go, these are the magic people. You just go, three ordinary people. Just how on earth they become famous, I don't know.
One of whom is wearing a paisley shirt and a Groucho Marx comedy face mask.
I did find myself, and I don't mean this in a ghoulish way, I did find myself thinking, if I had the Chuckle Brother there now, I think I probably would ask a question about his late brother, because they are so synonymous. And I mean, obviously it's on a different level, but if you had like Ernie Wise in, you might reference Eric Morecambe, you know, but they just didn't do it. And they were sort of like, you are a star by yourself. I'm not sure he is. It just felt really odd that they didn't reference it in any way.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know? I think it's just probably quite difficult for him to talk about. I imagine he goes in, he's like, I don't want to talk about that. Because what can you say other than, yeah, I've lost someone really important in my life who I loved and had a great career with. It's a bit, it's not very one show energy that then, is it? Well, having said that, they were talking about the cost of living crisis, and that was
the bleakest thing they've ever had on.
It really was.
And I'm all for it, because again, everyone needs to talk about this. Everybody is talking about it. It's happening. But why I will sit here and slag off this show is because they won't say, this is a governmental choice.
They can't. Yeah.
So she's just sat there in a yellow dress going, oh, you know, everybody's got £94 knocking around. Put that towards your energy bills. What?
The deals to be had on these easy access accounts. We found one offering 1.71%, which would earn £94.05 in interest a year. And at the moment, every single penny counts. So if you are lucky enough to have any savings, make sure your money
is like gaslighting on another level.
You can't afford to gaslight anymore. It's too expensive. The cost of gaslighting has gone through the roof.
No, exactly. Thank God that's over. Thank God gaslighting's over. Thank God. At least that's been eradicated. But I just think, no, like, I get so angry. And this is why, like, if I am sat at my grandparents' house and it's on, I will just be shouting at the telly, because I'm like, this is mad propaganda, this. Because they're going, it's like, well, actually, in France, the government are choosing to help people and this not happen. So don't tell us that there's no other choice. The cost of living crisis is a greed crisis. It is. So if you're going to talk about it, like you said earlier, talk about all angles and all points of view. Don't go, oh God, isn't this bleak? There's nothing we can do about it, though. Well, there is. Just get another government.
They were also really keen, to sort of say, I mean, there will be a £400 payment. They've just told you that everyone's bills are going to be on average £3,500 up £2,000. Yeah, yeah. And you just sort of want to go, the government are giving out £400. That's not even going to come close to helping most people. But they don't say that. They just leave it. What they need to sort of go is they need to, you're absolutely right, that they need to give that balance. And they need to say, you know, this is happening. And our government are little eyeless worms, are incapable of doing the obvious thing, which is making sure the energy companies shoulder this burden rather than pay it out to shareholders. That seems like, because they couldn't give you any good news on this. And what they didn't say is, they didn't say, for example, don't pay it. Here's some groups who are saying you shouldn't pay it. You can get some information on that. And they were just going, strap in, this is going to be a nightmare. What can we do about it?
Absolutely. And then you got a little bit of sympathy from Alex, just, and Jermaine go, it's going to be tough for a lot of people. And you're sitting there as a viewer going, well, neither of you two is this going to be a problem for at all.
It's going to be a worrying time, isn't it, as we head into winter.
Alex is like, sorry, I'm going to be all right, aren't I? I'm definitely going to be all right. Okay, that's fine then. Well, let's move on. Who have we got on next?
And then they did say to Nikki, the presenter of the... Because Matt Allwright was absent this week. We should say it was the alternative watchdog presenter, Nikki. And she said, yeah, you're a ray of sunshine. Have you got any good news for us? In that way, we're going to move on now. And she just went, no.
But you've always got some good news. You're our ray of sunshine, Nikki.
Come on, Nikki.
Alex. Anything?
I haven't.
Absolutely
nothing for you. And normally you're right.
Yeah. Are the Tories still in? Yeah, they are. Then no, I've got nothing. Yeah. Did they get voted out while I was on this show? No, they're nothing.
And there we must pause to hold up bell, book and candle to the One Show in a futile attempt to drive it from television, an outcast for its sins against entertainment. The Latin ceremony would ordinarily involve 12 priests and an incantation that condemns that at which it is aimed to damnation in an eternal fire. A feeling that anyone who's watched the One Show will recognise only too well. That was part one. Part two will be with you tomorrow. So join us in the morning for the One Show.